When you preach, there's a sort of, you take pride sometimes in being able to link things together that seem unlinkable. And this week, as you know, we lost some great people, great national treasures, didn't we? Not to mention Jim Bowen, another national treasure, of course, but the wonderful Ken Dodd, who's now not with us anymore. And of course, Stephen Hawking, you know. Now, I was trying to think, how can you find a way to link these two together? Not easy, but I think I've done it. As you know, Ken Dodd was quite famous for doing very, very long shows. He'd start at 7 and go on till 11 or even after the theatre was supposed to close. So in a way, he had very poor concept of time. Whereas Stephen Hawking was, of course, famous for working out time and space. And we're thinking about growing. Graham was talking earlier about plants growing. Of course, growth is something that happens over time. It doesn't just happen straight away. We need patience, don't we? Definitely need patience for things to grow. Growth is a process, isn't it? It doesn't just happen like that. Okay. So I want to ask you a question. Because sometimes when we don't grow, we can get frustrated, can't we? We can feel that things aren't happening at the right pace. So I want to ask you a question. Has anyone ever come up to you and said, looked you in the eye and said, if you're a Christian, this is, if you're not a Christian, it won't apply, but you've really grown as a Christian? Has anybody ever had someone come up to them and say that? Ooh, not many hands going up. Okay. No one's come up to you and said, do you know what? I've known you for a long time, and I think God's really working. You're really growing. Well, if nobody has, I've got some possible reasons for that. Okay. Maybe it's because people in our church are too shy, and we don't like going up and saying personal things to you. Which is a shame, because I think as a body we should do that. We should encourage each other, shouldn't we? In the faith, yeah. We should definitely encourage each other. So that's something we can think about. Or maybe we've grown so much and we're so wonderful a Christian now, we've got such a big halo, that people are in such awe of us, they don't even come near us to say anything. There's other possibilities, of course. Maybe the simple fact is we haven't grown, okay? That's a possibility. Some of us take a long, long time to grow. Or maybe, like me, you started your Christian growth from such a low point. You've done all this growing, and you've only now got up to an acceptable level of whatever you're at. That's another possibility as well. So people wouldn't go, oh, you've really grown. They'd think, oh, you're about where you should be, I think. So it's nice, isn't it, to know when we've grown and to see growth in our lives and people around us. And we're going to just have our reading now. Rachel, if you'd like to come up, we're going to read from Galatians 5. And as we heard earlier, it's a passage all about growth and how God grows good things in us.
This morning's reading is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. Found on page 1172 on the Pew Bibles. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that they are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the God.
So it's all about growing in God, isn't it? And with a lot of things in life, if we ever want to improve ourselves or see things change or get better, sometimes we feel it's like an act of will. It's willpower. Like if you want to lose weight or something, it's all about eating celery and exercising and doing things like that. So a lot of the things, we tend to sort of take that and transfer it into spiritual things. We think if we're going to improve as a Christian, it's all about willpower. But there is something about growing that we've got to do it, because if we don't do it, then we die. And if you see churches or communities where people aren't growing with God, people stagnate, don't they? And that's where you've got the verse 15. It's about, talking about biting and devouring each other. That's what can happen if people aren't growing. It's important that we do grow, or unless we, and if we don't grow, there's a danger that we might just kind of go around in ever decreasing circles and start biting and devouring each other and just not getting anywhere. So how can we grow then? We're talking about sometimes we feel it's an act of willpower. And out there these days, there's lots of people who will tell you how to make yourself a better person. Self-help books are the big thing these days. You can talk yourself and teach yourself into doing anything these days. So I went online and looked at some self-help advice about how to becoming a better person generally. And here's some advice. Know yourself better. Know yourself better. Well, that's good advice, generally speaking. It's good advice to know your limits. For me, wallpapering, I know that I cannot do it. And if I try to do it, I will be very sad and make everybody else around me very sad as well. It's good to know your limits, isn't it? Know what you can and can't do, okay? But here's some more advice. Surround yourself with beautiful people. How's that going? Careful, Bob. Surround yourself with beautiful people. And on the other side of the coin is this one. Get rid of those who are holding you back. Have you ever done that? Or maybe you're the person who's holding somebody else back and they got rid of you. Who's ever had that? Yeah. Here's a love. I love this one. Give yourself permission to be where you are. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I'll try and do that. From the passage we just read, there's all this good stuff, isn't there? There's all the stuff here that we've seen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all the good stuff. And there's a warning about the stuff of the flesh, the bad stuff. And if we're all honest, even if we're not a Christian, we'd like to be a better person, wouldn't we? And if we're a Christian, we'd like all this, wouldn't we? We'd like all this to be evident in our life. We'd love for the fruit to be seen by everybody. And we'd love for the bad stuff. And if you're listening, there's quite a lot more bad stuff than there is good stuff. We'd like all the bad stuff to be less or to go away completely, wouldn't we? That's our honest response to this. But if we're being really, really honest, it's difficult. Romans 7, verse 21, very famous passage in the Bible. And it says this. This is Paul speaking. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. From in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Paul was realizing that for a lot of us, we're frustrated, aren't we? We want to grow. We want to get better. We want things to get better and God to do his work in us. But we just get frustrated. And that can be very, very, very annoying. So how can we do it then? If we can't do it ourselves by trying harder, how do we do it? Well, Graham was using an example earlier of a plant. And that really is the secret of it. And in the passage, it talks about the Holy Spirit as being the key to becoming an organically growing Christian. It says in verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And it says later on, keep in step with the Spirit. It says all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key to us growing like a plant rather than forcing ourselves to grow. Because plants just naturally grow up towards the sunlight. Plants don't have to make an effort, do they? They don't have to try. Plants will just naturally grow. And the key is the Holy Spirit. Now, for many of us who've been Christians, even if we've been Christians for a long time, there's an odd thing going on here. I was just thinking about this the other day. That of the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we've been Christians a while, we'll know a little bit about the Father. Obviously, we won't know all about God until we get to heaven. We find out exactly who God is and what God is really, really like. But we know something in the Bible and from our own experience of what God is like. If you read the Old Testament, we see a God who's often frustrated by Israel and is going through terrible pains of how to have this covenant nation, and he's dealing with all the time. In the New Testament, we see perhaps a slightly different side to God the Father. We see the Father in the prodigal son parable, the Father who runs towards his son as he comes home. What an amazing picture of God the Father. So we know from the Bible that God the Father is someone who loves us, don't we? We've got this idea. Yeah? We know that God the Father loves us. We know that Jesus loves us because that's in the Bible too. We see the Gospels. You can't read the Gospels and not notice that Jesus really loves us, doesn't he? Jesus, somebody in the Gospels who's caring, who's wise, who's brave, who gave himself for us, didn't he? Jesus dies on the cross so that we could be with him. We could be his family. That's Jesus. We know Jesus loves us. It's very, very clear in the Bible that that's true. We know something about the personality of God the Father and the personality of God the Son. But the personality of the Holy Spirit, if we're honest, we don't know quite as much about that, do we? Because it's not there in the Bible. Okay, the Bible says a bit about the Holy Spirit. It says it's an image of a dove. We hear about the Holy Spirit like a rushing wind, about the Holy Spirit being a fire. We know passages of the Bible say a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Some in Revelation tells us a bit about the Holy Spirit. There's clues there, isn't there? 1 Corinthians 2 gives this fantastic image of the Holy Spirit as being something that's right deep inside of us, but also goes right deep inside of God. Isn't it? If you think about a tube train that links two cities, almost like the Holy Spirit is doing its work right inside the bus. Even in parts of us that we don't even know what's going on, the Holy Spirit's working there. But the Holy Spirit is also right in the heart of God. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, isn't he? The Holy Spirit is a very, very mysterious thing. And to be honest with you, I have to say that I didn't really have a good handle on what you call the personality of the Holy Spirit. So where do we find out about it? Well, I have to say that when we talk about things from the Bible, we're on fairly solid ground, okay? But the Holy Spirit, I've gone to somebody who's a friend of mine who does a lot of work in prophetic ministry. Now, what he says is not the Bible, okay? What he says about the Holy Spirit is not something like biblical scripture that we can really stand on like a rock. But nonetheless, it is interesting. And he's somebody who I find trustworthy and reliable. And this is a guy whose words you can understand because he deals with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Okay? If we're talking about milk, this guy would be a milkman. All right? This is somebody who does business with God and especially with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. So let's hear what he has to say for one of his talks about the personality of the Holy Spirit. And I think you will find this is interesting, especially if you've been a Christian for a while. The Holy Spirit is a genius. The Holy Spirit is the most enthusiastic person you will ever meet. Is that how you think of the Holy Spirit? Or do you think of it as something more abstract and, I don't know, it was interesting for me. Full of laughter, full of lightness, a genius at everything. He's brilliant at life. Does that chime in with your experience of the Holy Spirit? Interesting. There's more here. Okay. He, the Holy Spirit, is your biggest fan. Any of you ever thought of the Holy Spirit that way? He loves you. He's enthusiastic about you. He's excited about showing you things. If you had experience of moving the Holy Spirit and the gifts or the fruit or any part of the Holy Spirit, you'll know that the Holy Spirit is just like that. He's so keen. He loves showing us things. He loves leading us on to the next step. The Holy Spirit absolutely adores Jesus. That's there in the Bible, especially in Revelation. He knows everything about everything. He helped create everything. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there right from the beginning of creation. He takes everything which belonged to Jesus and shows it to us. Again, if you've got experience of growing in God, of the Holy Spirit moving in you, you know that's true. The Holy Spirit takes things of Jesus and shows it to us. I love this bit. You should hear the Holy Spirit talk about Jesus. He won't stop. He goes on and on and on. That is the personality, or that at least is a glimpse of the personality of the Holy Spirit. So there's some really good news here. If you've been following what I've just been saying carefully, that is this. Every part of the Trinity loves us. Now, I don't ever say this, and I probably won't say it ever again, but can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Every part of the Holy Spirit loves us. That's great, isn't it? God the Father loves us. Yeah? God the Son loves us. And God the Holy Spirit loves us. All three are on our side. All three of them want us to grow. So what could hold us back? Now, earlier on, Graham was talking about the things that plants need to grow. And I'll just kind of cover this again, if you don't mind. Plants need, of course, light, water, air, heat, all the things like that. And these are all things that as Christians we need, and things that we find in the Bible. That's why it's so important every day to spend a bit of time in God's Word. I heard somebody say this once, and it might sound a bit odd, but it's true. We need a personal relationship with our Bibles. We need time every day to study God's Word, don't we? And through that, we'll grow. What does Psalm 119 say? Your word is a lamp to my feet. We need that light as plants to grow towards the light. So the Bible is a really important part of it. We need support. When I was a kid, my mum used to grow loads of stuff in the garden, and she'd grow runner beans. And to grow runner beans, you need canes, don't you? Now, for me and my brother, canes were great because you could have sword fights with them. Okay, but the canes are there for the plants to attach themselves to and grow up. We need support when we're growing as plants of God, don't we? We need support. And what's that support? It's church, isn't it? It's our fellowship together. That's why church, that's why meeting together and having fellowship is so important. Otherwise, you'll just be a floppy runner bean. Anyone here feel like a floppy runner bean? There you go. Church is important. Support, Christian friends is important, isn't it? We need room to grow as well. And if you read the whole of Galatians, because we've been looking at Galatians, this passage about the fruit of the Spirit. If you read the whole of Galatians, what's Galatians about? It's about freedom. It's about God setting us free, isn't it? As plants, we need that room to grow. So what is holding us back? Often the things that hold us back are not the things of God. They're not the law. What does it say in verse 23? Talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, against such things, there is no law. There's nothing of God that's going to hold us back, is there? The things that are going to hold us back as Christians are from the outside. It's perceptions people have of us as Christians. But in God, there's no limit. There's plenty of room for us to grow. There's no law holding us back. The other thing, of course, is we need to be pruned back. Especially when we talk about vines, vines need to be cut right back. As plants, we need to do that. It says in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you were listening last week, what Graham was talking about, the flesh, it's that bit in us that is resistant to God. It's that bit in us that's resistant to what God is going to do. And the passage talks about the conflict between things of the spirit and things of the flesh. And that's so true. We feel that as we try and grow. We feel that conflict, don't we? We feel the conflict inside us. So those are all things that we need. But in verse 24, as I said, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That bit of us has been nailed to the cross. Everything that could hold us back. Just that bit of us, the flesh, was some of it nailed to the cross. Was 95%. 99%. All of it was nailed to the cross. All the bit that could hold us back. There's nothing in our lives that can hold us back from growing in God. If we are walking in step with the Spirit. And now we know a bit more about the personality of the Spirit. We know a bit more about the person we're walking with. The person that will help us to grow. Now when I started, I asked a question about how we'd know if we're growing. Has anyone ever told you that you're growing? And how we'd know if we're growing? And of course, the key to that is the fruit, isn't it? The key to that, if we're growing, we'll produce fruit. Now, if you think about it, fruit does not exist for the benefit of the plant that grew it, does it? Apples don't exist for the benefit of the apple tree. Raspberries, any kind of fruit we have, does not exist for the benefit of the plant that grew it. Fruit is there to be given away. And even if we feel our fruit is tiny, 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 it's something we can give away. Has anyone ever eaten, I pronounce this right, is it physalis? You know, seen that? They're like tiny little oranges. And they're weird. Anyone had them? No. Try them. They're really nice, actually. Very nice things. But sometimes we feel that the fruit we produce is very, very small. But it's all there. They're actually quite tasty. Even this fruit we produce that's really small, anything is there to be given away to other people. Who are you giving the fruit away to? There's nothing that can hold us back. We can grow the fruit. We can grow as plants. We can grow as Christians. But it's important that we think about that. Now, for some of us, giving away the fruit, sharing our faith, just even showing people love and all the things on that list, that is difficult. That's something outside of our comfort zones. And when we have families from the area coming in to things like Fun Day Sunday, and there's people in our parish centre, and we think, oh, this is a bit uncomfortable. But they're there so that you can share the fruit that God has grown in you with them. It doesn't mean to say you have to stand next to them and go, oi, listen, I think you should know, the gospel is this, 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 this. But just by loving, by sharing joy, peace, by being forbearing, patient. And goodness knows, if it's not going to be used for them, it can also be used in church as well. Sometimes, believe it or not, we need patience with people in church. I know that seems difficult to imagine, but it's true nonetheless. All these fruit are there for us to give away, especially to people who've never tasted the fruit of the kingdom of God. So I'd like to encourage you, nothing can hold us back. We've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the Father, Son and Spirit, all love us, all are on our side, all want to see us grow. What we need to do is keep in step with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit produce that fruit in our lives.